Welcome to 10 Verses a Day and week 37. We begin our reading in Acts chapter 21 and at verse 10. While we remained there for a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. He came to us, took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it and said, "The Holy Spirit says this. This is the way the Jews in Jerusalem will tie up the man whose belt this is and will hand him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, both we and the local people begged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul replied, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be tied up, but even to die in Jerusalem, for the name of the Lord Jesus." Because he could not be persuaded, we said no more, except, "The Lord's will be done." After these days, we got ready and started up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea came along with us and brought us to the house of Mnason of Cyprus, a disciple from the earliest times, with whom we were to stay. Tuesday. When we arrived in Jerusalem, the brothers welcomed us gladly. The next day, Paul went in with us to see James, and all the elders were there. When Paul had greeted them, he began to explain in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. When they heard this, they praised God. Then they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all ardent observers of the law. They have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews now living among the Gentiles to abandon Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to our customs. What then should we do? They will no doubt hear that you have come. So, do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow. Take them and purify yourself along with them and pay their expenses, so that they may have their heads shaved. Then everyone will know that there's nothing in what they've been told about you, but that you yourself live in conformity with the law. But regarding the Gentiles who have believed, we have written a letter, having decided that they should avoid meat that has been sacrificed to idols, and blood, and what has been strangled, and sexual immorality." Then Paul took the men the next day, and after he had purified himself along with them, he went to the temple and gave notice of the completion of the days of purification, when the sacrifice would be offered for each of them. Wednesday. When the 7 days were almost over, the Jews from the province of Asia who had seen him in the temple area stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people, our law, and this sanctuary. Furthermore, he's brought Greeks into the inner courts of the temple and made this holy place ritually unclean." For they had seen Trophimus the Ephesian in the city with him previously, and they assumed Paul had brought him into the inner temple courts. The whole city was stirred up, and the people rushed together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple courts, and immediately the doors were shut. While they were trying to kill him, a report was sent up to the commanding officer of the cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to the crowd. When they saw the commanding officer and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commanding officer came up and arrested him and ordered him to be tied up with two chains. He then asked who he was and what he had done. But some in the crowd shouted one thing and others something else. And when the commanding officer was unable to find out the truth because of the disturbance, he ordered Paul to be brought into the barracks. When he came to the steps, Paul had to be carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the mob. For a crowd of people followed them, screaming, "Away with him!" Thursday. As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the commanding officer, "May I say something to you?" The officer replied, "Do you know Greek? Then you're not that Egyptian who started a rebellion and led the 4,000 men of the assassins into the wilderness some time ago." Paul answered, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of an important city. Please allow me to speak to the people." When the commanding officer had given him permission, Paul stood on the steps and gestured to the people with his hand. When they had become silent, he addressed them in Aramaic. Brothers and fathers, listen to my defence that I now make to you. When they heard that he was addressing them in Aramaic, they became even quieter. Then Paul said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated with strictness under Gamaliel according to the law of our ancestors, and was zealous for God, just as all of you are today. I persecuted this way even to the point of death, tying up both men and women and putting them in prison, as both the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify about me. From them I also received letters to the brothers in Damascus, and I was on my way to make arrests there and bring the prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was en route and near Damascus about noon, a very bright light from heaven suddenly flashed around me. Then I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I answered, Who are you, Lord? He said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene whom you are persecuting. Those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who is speaking to me. So I asked, What should I do, Lord? The Lord said to me, Get up and go to Damascus. There you'll be told about everything that you've been designated to do. Since I could not see because of the brilliance of that light, I came to Damascus led by the hand of those who were with me. Friday. A man named Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and stood beside me and said to me, Brother Saul, regain your sight. And at that very moment I looked up and saw him. Then he said, The God of our ancestors has already chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a command from his mouth. Because you will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and have your sins washed away, calling on his name. Then I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple. I fell into a trance and saw the Lord saying to me, Hurry and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. I replied, Lord, they themselves know that I imprisoned and beat those in the various synagogues who believed in you. And when the blood of your witness Stephen was shed, I myself was standing nearby approving and guarding the cloaks of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, Go, because I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Saturday. The crowd was listening to him until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, Away with this man from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. While they were screaming and throwing off their cloaks and tossing dust in the air, the commanding officer ordered Paul to be brought back into the barracks. He told them to interrogate Paul by beating him with a lash, so that he could find out the reason the crowd was shouting at Paul in this way. When they had stretched him out for the lash, Paul said to the centurion standing nearby, Is it legal for you to lash a man who is a Roman citizen without a proper trial? When the centurion heard this, he went to the commanding officer and reported it, saying, What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen. So the commanding officer came and asked Paul, Tell me, are you a Roman citizen? He replied, Yes. The commanding officer answered, I acquired this citizenship with a large sum of money. But I was even born a citizen, Paul replied. Then those who were about to interrogate him stayed away from him, and the commanding officer was frightened when he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had had him tied up. The next day, because the commanding officer wanted to know the true reason Paul was being accused by the Jews, he released him and ordered the chief priests and the whole council to assemble. He then brought Paul down and had him stand before them. Sunday. Paul looked directly at the council and said, Brothers, I have lived my life with a clear conscience before God to this day. At that, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. Do you sit there judging me according to the law, and in violation of the law you ordered me to be struck? Those standing near him said, Do you dare insult God's high priest? Paul replied, I did not realize, brothers, that he was the high priest, for it is written, You must not speak evil about a ruler of your people. Then, when Paul noticed that part of them were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he shouted out in the council, Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am on trial concerning the hope of the resurrection of the dead. When he said this, an argument began between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, or angel, or spirit, but the Pharisees acknowledge them all. There was a great commotion, and some experts in the law from the party of the Pharisees stood up and protested strongly, "We find nothing wrong with this man. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him?" When the argument became so great, the commanding officer feared that they would tear Paul to pieces. He ordered the detachment to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Have courage, for just as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome."